Well, as we continue with these woes that are fairly formidable, and of course addressed to the Pharisees, the great religious teachers of Jerusalem, we see two additional priorities that Jesus is working with. Yesterday we saw Jesus was concentrating on telling the Pharisees, number one, not to preclude anybody from the kingdom of God who's trying to get in, and anybody who tries to preclude them from getting in is not doing God's will. And secondly, that they have to watch their own self-righteousness, because of course, that's the very thing, the thought you could save yourself, make yourself righteous by your own actions, of course, is the very thing which will cause you not to need God. And if you think you don't need God, then of course you're going to just slip into a life that drifts further and further away from Him, jeopardizing your own righteousness and salvation. Dripping with irony, as it were, Jesus gives them these two commands. Now He continues. He's got two other things in mind. The first thing, of course, and this is for the religious teachers especially, is not to get the minor things mixed up with the major things. That's the first thing. And the second thing that He's going to concentrate on is, of course, at the inside, you know, that is to say, our hearts, our dispositions, right? That is primary. Because, of course, if that's going well, right, if we've got sort of, you know, God and our intention to want to be obedient to God and to serve God in the inside, then the outside is going to be healthy as well. So what is He telling the Pharisees? And why, again, with this rhetoric, I mean, that just, you know, is so, you know, very unlike Jesus. Jesus is, you know, as we've seen before, He uses rough rhetoric really only in one circumstance. He doesn't use it because He's ticked off at people. He doesn't use it because He wants to intimate that God's angry, terrifying, disgusted. Nope, nothing like that. He uses it for one reason only. He uses it to warn people about the awesome power of their freedom. He does it to warn people that, of course, by using our freedom or misdirecting our freedom in some kind of a way, we could actually wind up choosing what's going to make us wail and grind our teeth. We could actually wind up choosing the darkness instead of the light. We could actually wind up choosing, you know, the kingdom of autonomy and domination and instead of the kingdom of love. We can actually do that if we don't watch it. So Jesus uses this, what I call the rhetoric of warning, which, by the way, every prophet used it. I mean, John the Baptist was a lot rougher on the Pharisees than Jesus was, let me tell you. You know, you brood of vipers, you're all going to you know where. You know, now that's John the Baptist. Jesus is more subtle, but He's telling them straight out with all the prophetic rhetoric He could muster to watch themselves, because they're getting so involved in their own little Pharisaical script, right? This is the thing of their own choosing, straining out the gnat and eating the camel. Right, their own little prescripts. They've got their own little things. And of course, you know, N.T. Wright very sarcastically at one point in his book, Jesus and the Victory of God, he says, he's ranking the sins, you know. He says, well, you know, first of all, you know, there are, you know, the mass murderers. Then there are the tax collectors. And a little lower down, the prostitutes, a little, you know. And then finally, of course, you know, you go down a few more steps. And then you've got the people who don't do things the way the Pharisees tell them. And of course, what Jesus is saying is, I don't think I'm concerned that much about those little minor things that you've construed to make yourselves important. Rather, I am interested in justice and mercy. What I'm interested in is the things of the heart that are going to motivate you. Then if you want to get the minor things, that's great as well. But first, above all, concern yourselves with mercy and justice. Concern yourselves with compassion and love. Concern yourselves with the obedience to God and faith. That's important. All the other stuff, if you want to do that, that's great. But it doesn't have to be of any significance, right, and in the religious life. Second thing that Jesus is doing, and he's doing this for the sake of the Pharisees, right? He's warning them against another tendency. They are really looking at outside behaviors. And they're experts at regulating their outside behavior. They look really innocent, right? But inside, as Jesus says, there's all kinds of stuff going on in there that they're not paying attention to at all. They're not purifying it at all. They're not watching it at all because they really don't think that it's that big of a deal, that it really matters. And what Jesus is trying to call them to is, but it does matter. It matters more than the outside, right? And of course, if we kind of concentrate on the outside without the inside, and later on in this Gospel of Matthew, he goes ahead and he says it, if you clean the inside of the dish, what goes into the person, right, the outside is going to follow. And of course, he says, too, if you watch what you put into yourself, what you're dreaming of inside yourself, then what comes out of you will be good, but not vice versa. If you don't watch it, it could be really bad. So the idea for Jesus then is to give this warning rhetoric of love. And of course, he doesn't think that the Pharisees are doing this intentionally, right? I think the Pharisees were truly, in many respects, following their own ancestors and predecessors. They were not paying attention to these things. So Jesus is drawing attention to them out of love. That's what he's doing, out of love. So as we continue to hear these woes and the rough rhetoric that Jesus uses with the woes toward the religious teachers of Israel, we just got to keep remembering, all of this is done out of love. All of this is done to warn them against using their freedom in a way that would prevent others from finding God, or using their freedom in a way that would prevent themselves from actually achieving righteousness that they might think they could get on their own. If we kind of look at these woes then with that loving rhetoric of warning, then of course we'll see that what Jesus is about is not is the salvation not only of the people around the Pharisees, but the salvation of the Pharisees themselves. Amen.